I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now. I've got a stomach pain that's low, fungus on my toe, and I need you now.
So your voice of John DeCause.
He's from Central DuPage Hospital. Call Dr. Moose right now.
John DeCause has been gone for a few days. He'll return, I think, this week. Might be early next week.
Will we play match game?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, match game could have been the thing that knocked him out of work for a few days.
It might have been.
Dr. Kevin Most on the road in Washington, D.C. this morning for some Big Shot medical meeting, I assume. Is that right?
It's for a medical meeting. I'm not sure about Big Shot.
But I believe it's called the Big Shot Medical Meeting.
No, I'm here for the American Hospital Association meeting, and I'll be surrounded in a room full of people much smarter than I, talking about healthcare marketplace stability, the expansion of Medicare, opioids, you know. So it's actually a really good meeting with a lot of smart people besides myself.
Is there an opportunity for all of you to take a field trip over to Congress and go, what exactly do you people do?
Yeah, actually, we'll meet all day today. We'll meet half a day tomorrow. And then many of us will go up on the Hill and talk to whatever legislators or support staff that we can to discuss some major issues in this country.
Well done, and good luck with it. All right, this is a tough topic, but one we need to tackle. Suicide Prevention Week just ended. As most people listen to the show with any regularity know, I lost two friends to suicide over the course of, I don't know, 5 years, maybe a little longer. You get an education in it you never want, but there's some very important things to know, and let's start with the medical side of it.
Yeah, you know, and you make a good point. It's touched all of us, and the medical side of it, to be honest with you, is we need your help. Doctors need your help to prevent suicides, because patients don't walk in too often saying, I want to commit suicide. Sometimes in the emergency room that happens. Sometimes we see them after an attempt. But the vast majority of these patients, we need you as family members and friends to help us identify these individuals, because we don't get it in just a physical exam in a doctor's office unless that patient's ready to share it. But there's a lot of signs out there that we need you to identify in friends and family to get these people help.
Now, you know this personally as well. You had a loss.
I did. Growing up, I had four really close, tight friends. Ray Foley, Mike Moran, John O'Donnell, and myself, we hung up around completely, all the time, totally, all the way through high school and college. And John O'Donnell took his life, and not one of us saw it coming.
It's the type of thing, too, that when I went through mine, one was not as big a surprise, but was awful, obviously, and the other was a complete shock. So when you speak of the medical world needing help, my experience was this. You learn that the things you don't want to say are as important as the things you do say. And the things you don't want to say are, you'll feel better tomorrow, or you have so much to live for, or, you need to be stronger, or you need to snap out of it. None of those are true, because what somebody needs to do, if they reach out and they open up to talk, they need to talk. And they just need you to say, what can I do to help, and why are you so sad, and what's bothering you at this level, and just shut up and listen.
Absolutely. You know, I can tell you myself, when it happened, I was angry. I was angry at him
right.
for doing it. I was angry at myself for not identifying and not knowing what to look for here. And like you said, these are individuals that, when you look at statistics, the people that attempt suicide and don't, you know, commit suicide, often will say, all I really wanted to do was to have somebody sit and listen to me and understand what I'm going through and help me get to a place, a better place.
Right.
And unfortunately, we are still have that social stigma around depression and suicide that we need to get over. And we need to get past, because we need your help to prevent this. Suicide should be a preventable illness in this country, just like we eradicated polio. This is one where we should be able to stop it.
There's an amazing statistic in your notes that I certainly wasn't aware of, and that's for every 25 people that try to commit suicide, one die?
Yep. So you can imagine that. We have over 1 million attempts at suicide in a year. And yet we still haven't identified those people before they attempt it. And it's, I can't drive that message home enough. Is, you know, look for these individuals who, you know, you're a big Cubs fan. If you told me, a Hawks fan, if you told me that you didn't want to go to a Hawks game, or you said something about a major change in the way that you're sleeping, or your mood was way off, those are signs for me to start looking at you and saying, hey, Steve, let's sit, let's talk, let's go on, what's going on?
Right.
You know, if I asked you to play golf and you said no,
right,
without a reason, that should raise a red flag for me.
And the thing is, Doc, as you well know, there are a lot of people who just can't have those conversations. It's just too uncomfortable for them as ever. But if you're the one that's identified it, you need to reach out to a third friend, a mutual friend, a family member, somebody who can have that talk, who can sit down with a person and say, hey, listen, I know you're struggling here. Let's talk about it. Because it doesn't have to be you, but silence isn't going to help anything.
Yeah. You know, and sitting and listening and talking is one thing, but then making sure you take that next step to get to do an intervention, to
yep.
whether you're going to get them in help right away, you're going to talk to their family, you're going to talk to a doctor. Those are the things that are going to prevent this, and we need to get to that point. I mean, especially, I want to drive something home, too. You know, when my friend did it, he was in his 30s, so it's not like this was towards the end of his life or anything. He was very successful. So those are not signs that we look for. But I can tell you probably one of the biggest concerns that suicide is the leading cause of death in children aged 10 to 14. And it's the third leading cause of death in adults aged 15 to 24. So look at that age group as well and look for those signs. We're seeing bullying making a big impact here. And these are the kids, watch for them. Are they socially isolating themselves? Do they have major mood swings? Do they start to not care about how they look? Do they? Is their grooming uncharacteristic? So look, and this is not just adults, so look at kids as well.
Yeah, and you can't walk it off and go, it's none of my business. It's all of our business. You know, it includes coworkers and people that you have even mild contact with. And again, you don't have to just jump into somebody's life and go, hey, you're going to sit down, you're going to talk about it. But Doc, my finding is that it's important to, and this sort of amplifies what you're talking about, have a plan. So when you sit down and you have that conversation, you make an offer. You know, let's have a plan here. Can I help you find a therapist to talk to? Can I drive you to a group session? Can I help you figure out who that is? You know, and I'm going to call you tomorrow and we'll get this figured out. Doesn't have to be right now, but I'm going to call you tomorrow. We're going to get it figured out. You know, so there's a goal and a plan. And like you said, you don't just have the conversation and walk away.
Yeah, and you make a very good point. You know, if you have this individual that you're really concerned about, make a contract with them. Say, hey, you know what? You and I are great friends. Well, this is what we're going to do. Before you do anything, you are going to call me. You're going to talk to me. I'm going to touch base with you every day, and you're going to be there. So, you know, making that contract with them while they're trying to get them help often is what they need. They need to know that someone understands that they're suffering and that they're fighting these demons and that they have some help to do that.
Doc, how do you handle pushback from them, though? I mean, what if they just want no part of it?
Yeah, and you know what? You'll probably see some of those individuals, but stay on them and make sure that they get professional help. Once you feel like you're over your ski tips and you can't handle this, the next step is to make sure they get professional help. And whether that's taking them into an emergency room or whether that's impacting their family and making sure that they get into their doctor, because at that point, that's when we can step up and make a difference after you've identified this individual with a major concern.
It really comes down to this, and that is at some point when somebody kills themselves, they get to a point where they go, that's the better idea. The better idea, as opposed to getting up tomorrow morning, is to dying today. And as hard as that might be for you or I or anybody else to imagine, the that level of sadness, depression, illness is extremely treatable and extremely fixable. The person has to feel that they have hope that somebody else cares enough to listen, and you can provide that. So what do you recommend people do if they think they don't have a resource? I mean, do you need to have therapists in your hip pocket? Do you need to be able to suggest something specific?
No, I mean, even, you know, there's a National Suicide Prevention Hotline, and you guys can post it, 800-273-8255. Get them on the phone and tell them your situation and where you're standing. They will give you great advice because this is what they do 24/7. So they will help you. And if you can get that individual on the phone with them, they will help them as well. We have to realize that, you know, the funding for mental health in this country is woefully underfunded, and it's something that we need to look at as well. And the opportunities for people to get help. You know, unfortunately, across this country, we have counties without a single psychiatrist in the county, if you can imagine
that. It's amazing, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm very fortunate. Central DuPage, we have 25 psychiatrists just on our medical staff alone. But there are counties where there aren't these mental health individuals. And when you look at some of the states that have the biggest problems with suicide, Wyoming, Alaska, Montana, those are very rural countries that states that don't have a bunch of psychiatrists there to help these individuals.
And getting back to the kid thing, which is an amazingly depressing and terrible statistic about how many kids are killing themselves. As a parent or somebody that loves a kid that you think might be in trouble, I had a guidance counselor in high school, Malcolm Head, Mr. Head, who helped save me. And though I wasn't on the road to kill myself, I was certainly on a bad road. He stepped up. And high school guidance counselors are, to me, it's one of the more underrated professions on the planet with the great work they do every day. So even if you're a parent and you say, I don't know how to talk to my kid, reach out to your school's guidance counselor. Tell them what you're concerned about. They will reach out to your kid at school.
You know, you make a good point, and it's not only guidance counselors, it's teachers as well.
Right. These are like a favorite teacher, like somebody they've talked about fondly in the past.
Yep. Because these are the individuals that during the school year, where a lot of these stressors are put on these kids, they're the ones seeing them 6, 7, 8 hours a day. So, you know, heads up to those teachers to look for some of these things. Because I can tell you that the bullying aspect to this is huge, and the social stigma and the social interaction that kids have right now is very, very tight on them. You know, this kid, the kid that's not fits in at school or isn't doing well in school from a grades point of view, those are those individuals that say, you know what, I'm hopeless. I don't have a chance. I'm a burden on my parents. Those are the ones we need to identify early.
It's a suicide prevention hotline number again, 800-273-8255. Suicide prevention lifeline.org is the website, 24/7, 365. These are people who walk the walk and talk the talk and will not be judgmental. And I guess that's the only thing else I'd add, Doc, is don't be judgmental. Listen.
Yeah, absolutely. Do not be judgmental. Try to understand. You can't sit in their shoes often, but at least listen to them. And you know what? When we get really serious, if someone tells you that they have a plan and they have a means to do it, those are the ones that you have to act on right away. Those are the ones that you don't say, okay, let's make sure we get you help here in the next few days. No, those are the ones. The individuals also that seemed to be down and depressed and all of a sudden seemed to be relieved and happy, that's a signal for us of concern, because that individual often has made their decision, made their plan, and now they feel relieved knowing that they've made that decision. That's a big red flag for us.
Yeah.
So if somebody does improve like that, make sure you get them in. Do not just say, oh, you're better? Okay, great.
It's the exact experience I had with a very good friend of mine. She had planned it for a year, all the way down to making sure her dog would be taken care of. She had paid her bills. She had written the checks and stamped the envelopes and left them on the table. There were a couple of notes on what people could do. She was even researched the way to die so she would not leave a mess, literally. I mean, so and said goodbye to the people at work on a Friday and died that weekend. So, yeah, 1,000% right. And I think it's great information, Doc. Thank you for it. I'd say have fun in Washington, but I'm not sure that's what's going to happen for you there today.
Well, I'll tell you, like I said, it'll be very interesting. We take about, in our committee alone, there's about 35 individuals who are chief medical officers, chief nursing officers from across the country. And it's great for me because I get to hear what's going on in Wyoming. I'll have David Perlstein, who's a great friend of mine who runs a hospital in the Bronx. I love sitting talking to him to hear what he's struggling with, because it's totally different than what I'm struggling with.
Sure.
And getting that aspect of what's going on in this country is going to help us shape some policy.
Northwestern Medicine getting it done again. And, Doc, we'll see you when you get back to town.
Sounds good. Thank you very much.
Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better.